from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the 2011-2012 season in three first-class venues.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll get previews of the upcoming Broad Ripple Music Fest and the Heartland Film Fest, and get to talk with magician Christian Painter about a new spooky show he's creating.
Plus we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do?
All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. The 5th Annual Broad Ripple Music Fest, a celebration of local, regional, and national Indiana-based artists, is coming up on October 15th. Last year's festival featured 125 bands on 16 different stages and music from every genre. Travis DiNicola spoke with festival organizer Dan Farner from Smallbox Web.
Dan, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Travis. How are you?
Very well, very well. Great. It's a pleasure to have you here. I know your wife was actually, she kind of beat you to this. She was on Art of the Matter before you were. Not that it's a competition, but
right.
She was in here a couple weeks ago talking with Sharon about the Art Squared event down Found Square. Now we're moving up to Broad Ripple, so you guys kind of got the neighborhoods covered.
That's right. Yeah, on both ends of the city. We're sandwiching
nice.
Downtown
yeah,
with
well,
art.
Kind of the power creative couple here. Broad Ripple Music Fest, this is in its fifth year. And you've been involved with it from the start, right?
Correct, I have.
Tell me a little bit about how it got started and sort of what the vision was for it.
Sure, yeah. Broad Ripple Music Fest was kind of born in the ashes of a former event called Midwest Music Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And that took place in the early 2000s, built by a local kind of music hero, Josh Baker. And
yeah.
He decided to call it quits around 2005 or 2006, and we saw this big gaping void that the local community really, you know, ate into, and they just loved that, you know, kind of curated event
mm-hmm.
that they could look forward to and celebrate the music community. And so in 2007, Jeb Banner, who is the CEO over at Smallbox, and that's kind of my day job, he and
web
a couple,
design,
right,
firm. Mm-hmm.
Web design and marketing mm-hmm. Up in Broad Ripple. We produced this in-house there. He and a couple other folks decided to kind of get a community of people together and produce more of a community-based event where promoters and venues are working together rather than – it's kind of like a decentralized thing rather than, you know, a single person producing it. So it started in 2007 as a community-based
sure,
event.
The Midwest Music Fest, I mean, it also had vendors. It had workshops and different things
right.
going on. It was sort of like a conference, but the thing that was the coolest part about it really was – just the opportunity for tons of local bands to perform.
Right, local bands in non-traditional settings.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Broad Ripple has kind of changed its dynamic a little bit over the course of the last 10 years, but there's still a huge amount of clubs in Broad
mm-hmm.
Ripple, and you know, all of them don't have live music now, but there are some fantastic venues that are really fun to go to that you probably wouldn't normally go to see live music, like Rock Lobster and Casbah,
sure.
et cetera.
Sure, right. Ones that don't have regular music nights and stuff,
mm-hmm.
as well as you know some that do. So now you're in your fifth year, and really it is about giving a great couple days. Weekend of music. This year you've got over 150 musicians, 16 venues,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much all local or at least regional
mm-hmm.
Groups that are getting a chance to get out there. Some really well established, some newcomers. I mean, kind of a mix of that as well, right?
Right, yeah, definitely. The goal is to keep it Indiana roots focused. So
okay.
most of them have ties to the Indiana music scene in some form or another. We have a few national artists on the show this year. That, you know, we just kind of couldn't pass up the opportunity because they were so great and
yeah.
Just kind of a perfect fit stylistically. But, yeah, I mean, that's the idea. It's kind of like I like to think of it as a group hug for the Indiana music scene. So
right.
it's like, you know, local bands working with local promoters, local venues, local sponsors, and it's all just done right here in Indiana.
Well, and it's certainly something that is worthy of supporting, because we do have so many great local bands here. Now, part of the reason that you've been involved with it over the years is, my understanding, you were also involved with sort of a punk family tree of Indiana music. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually called Musical Family Tree.
Okay.
And it's a web archive. It's musicalfamilytree.com. It's a website, but it's an archive of Indiana, like kind of punk and indie rock, starting mm-hmm. from the 70s and 80s all the way until today. And
okay.
so it's basically an aggregate, like a, it's an archive, I guess, that you know, you, of music that you can't find, like rare recordings of bands and artists that you just can't find anywhere else on the web, but it's all Indiana based for the most part.
You know, I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems to me that even over the past 10 years or so, that both bands and venues have done a lot better job about promoting themselves. That every year it seems like there's more really quality, talented acts, a better variety of acts than, you know, looking back maybe 10, 15 years ago. I mean, I don't know what, I mean, you're obviously much more involved with this than...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that using the power of the web, they're able to promote themselves a little better than ever
sure.
before, you know? And
it's a big part of it, yeah.
It is, and I mean, that's part of the reason that, you know, Smallbox kind of has taken this event on, is that it gives us an opportunity to showcase our, you know, our services, like, on the web marketing end. But
mm-hmm.
We also provide these, you know, this opportunity and services for these bands and promoters to utilize as well. And, you know, we get to work with them hand in hand
yeah.
and show them a little bit of what they can do beyond, you know, what they're currently doing.
Cool. So who are some of the bands that I know we can't name them all, but
sure.
Give me a couple highlights.
Yeah, well, I think I'll kind of divide it up by showcase, because
okay.
that's kind of how this is produced. Like, you know, each venue has a specific showcase, and
mm-hmm.
that's kind of got a specific genre tied to it. And so starting on Friday night at the Vogue, we have kind of more of a soul showcase with headlined by Kate Lamont.
Love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's fantastic. She's going to have a full band with Devin
oh,
Ashley
nice.
From
okay.
the Lemonheads and Josh Silbert from Johnny Sacco and ESW
okay.
playing. And she's playing with Vess Rutenberg, who also from the Lemonheads and some other great bands, and T.J. Reynolds and the Freehand Orchestra. So it's more of like a soul kind of like, you know, jazz rock
yeah.
show, but super fun, you know, definitely danceable as well. And then also on Friday night, over at Connor's Pub, which
mm-hmm.
is kind of in the heart of Broad Ripple, we're going to have a big, what we call mega tent. We have this big tent we're setting up with two big stages. It'll be like, you know, a festival-sized tent.
Yeah.
And we have a huge DJ showcase produced by A Squared and Rad Summer, which are some local promoters.
Mm-hmm.
And the headliner is Turquoise Jeep, and they're kind of like a comedy, like, DJ act. And there's a bunch of other fantastic local DJs.
Nice.
It's kind of more of like a hipster dance party, but it's
okay.
super fun, like, just wild. Then Saturday, we also have another kind of more indie rock show at
mm-hmm.
that same tent, tented stage at Connor's Pub. And we call that Commodore Von Keepsie's Magic Playhouse. And it
okay.
is buck wild. You'll have musicians, a drum corps, in addition to some amazing bands. And, like, there are a few headliners. Kevin Barnes from Of Montreal is doing a DJ set
wow.
under the
okay.
guise DJ List Christie. And then
okay.
also you have Murder by Death, who's based in Bloomington, but they play, you know, all over the world at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other great local and regional acts like Pravada and Elsinore and
yeah.
a few others that,
okay.
that you know, everybody would be familiar with.
Nice.
Yeah. And then
and
one
that's
more.
That's during the day?
That's during the day. Starts at 4 p.m.
Okay.
And it ends around 1 or 2 a.m., something like that. And you know, there are several other fantastic shows I like to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
There's the MOKB show is at Rock Lobster this year, and you have Tapes and Tapes, who is, you know, a little bit of a national band, but playing with Neon Love Life, who is, you know, a great local band that's really doing some great stuff.
Yeah, and they just
Hot
have their
Fox.
New CD out right now, and
exactly.
which is terrific.
Yeah, new yep. CD from both them and Hot Fox, who are
mm-hmm.
both on the MOKB label. And, you know, a few other fantastic shows just right there in the village. Like, there's more electronic music,
okay.
jazz, you know, a little bit of everything. Hip-hop. At the Casbah, we're going to have a beat battle, an MC beat battle, where, you know, artists go head-to-head kind of for,
mm-hmm.
For a cash prize, which is provided by a local sponsor, No Bad Ideas. And then,
now, does each venue have its own cover, or how does that work? Because I know that I mean, certainly there are tickets, and one thing that's really cool about this is that the proceeds benefit Girls Rock, which is sort of the girls, the camp for young female musicians.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, and that's kind of my next thing. You know, given all of us music, it's obviously a little difficult to determine where you want to go. But the way that we make it easy is that we offer a wristband, an all-access wristband for $15. You can literally get into every single show.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic deal. Or, you know, each show is ticketed individually. Most of them are about $10. But, you know, most of them start around 4 or 5 p.m. and go all the way through the night. So no matter what, you're getting an opportunity to see, you know, fantastic local and regional music. And it's probably the one night of the year that you can go out and you just know you're going to see a great show from a local band.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, the website for it's BroadRippleMusicFest.com. For the wristbands, can you buy those the day of, that Friday or that Saturday?
Correct. You can buy wristbands day of, and you can also buy them in advance. They're on sale right now at BroadRippleMusicFest.com.
Very cool. Very cool. How'd you guys pick Girls Rock to benefit from this?
Good question, Travis. Well, the gals that run that also play in the band Neon Love Life, and they also happen to be friends, and they just have this fantastic mission, and their whole thing is that they put this rock camp together during the summer, and they get a bunch of young female musicians, and they put bands together, write songs, and then perform a show, and so it's like this whole young female mentorship program, and that's pretty rock and roll. I mean, it's just really cool. And you know, as soon as I found out about it, I was like, well, we gotta work with them. Like, perfect fit for the fest. And, you know, as we mentioned, all the proceeds from the festival go to benefit them. And that's usually a couple $1,000, which will help with the production of the event.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with this. It sounds like it's going to be just an incredible weekend. Tons of fun. Lots of great bands. Go out and support your favorite bands, but probably more importantly, discover a whole bunch of new bands that a lot of people maybe, you know, haven't had a chance to see yet, and some really cool venues.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me, Travis.
You bet.
Travis DiNicola with Dan Farner, one of the organizers of this year's Broad Ripple Music Fest. The festival takes place the weekend of October 15th. For more information, visit BroadRippleMusicFest.com, BroadRippleMusicFest.com. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. The 2011 Heartland Film Festival takes place October 13th through the 22nd. Travis DiNicola spoke with the festival's president and CEO, Jeff Sparks.
Jeff, welcome back to Art of the Matter, and always great to see you. Looking forward to Heartland.
It's always great to be on the show to support it in any way I can.
Thank you.
It's one of the great art-centric things that go on in Indianapolis, keeping us together. And as they say, all ships rise.
I absolutely agree with that, and I appreciate that. You've been a big part of keeping those ships rising with Heartland. How many years is this now?
20 years.
Congratulations.
I've actually been with the organization almost 21 years.
Wow. That is so cool. I mean, you guys have grown so much. Your reputation is just astounding. I mean, you know, I think it's easy maybe sometime in Indianapolis to sort of take for granted what Heartland does, and that Heartland is even here, because you guys have a national and an international reputation now.
Yeah.
You know, known for being a phenomenal film festival with one of the biggest prizes, the biggest prize?
The biggest prize in the U.S.
Okay.
And I tell people, arguably, the largest community-based, community-driven film festival in the country.
Wow.
Because the other ones that you often think of, to be nameless anyway, a lot of them are industry run.
Yeah.
You know, they come in, they run the show, they do it all. But this one is really focused on celebrating film. And our board is made up of primarily civic leaders with a few filmmakers from all over the country. Where a lot of the boards of other festivals are made up primarily of filmmakers with a few community people.
I had not really made that connection before, that so many others are industry run.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and since you are not, and since you are a community film festival, that really, really allows you to follow your mission of creating films that, I forget the exact words of the mission, but I think of it as films that sort of warm the heart, if you will.
We came up with a great phrase, and it's easy to remember. To promote positive change in people's lives through the transformative power of film. And, you know, it's a wide range. You know, we always have to kind of dispel this fact. It's warm and fuzzy.
Right. It's not all warm and fuzzy. It's not all children's movies.
No,
it's
not all family.
Yeah.
You know, we, like a couple of years ago, we had the film Precious, you know, which is a tough film. a lot of our docs and a lot of our narratives and shorts take on really tough questions. Mm-hmm. But we always want something that leaves you thinking and positive. It doesn't leave you like, I don't know what the heck I'm going to do, or let's just slit our wrists. It's all, you know, it may take on a tough subject like Precious did, but it will give hope. It will show how community can be involved, how one person can make a difference. A wide variety of films. Something for everyone, as I say.
Yeah, and you mentioned, in addition to the feature length, the short films, documentaries, all types. I know, how many, films are a part of it this year?
This year, I want to say 127. Wow. It's something, 120-something. Mm-hmm. We had 850-plus films entered from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And then a great group of people. It's a very complex way that we narrow it down. We get a lot of people involved, filmmakers from past Heartland festivals, mm-hmm. and community people to say these are the best. And of those 127 films, a large number of them are shorts. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things we found is that filmmakers tell us this city and this festival does one of the best jobs of promoting and attendance at shorts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So, I know that shorts are a hard thing often to get audiences to see.
Right. And for some reason, they resonate. I think because we've had great programs of shorts. And this year, I think there's 6 or 7 programs of just shorts in this year's festival.
One that I've heard about already, some talk about, is a film called Twins.
Oh, okay. Now, one of the things,
now,
having
I know
100,
that you have not
I have seen
every...
them all, but I've seen a lot of great ones. I'll tell you this. I don't know Twins.
And I wasn't trying to catch you off guard
because
you can't see every one.
No. But let me tell you, one of the most we started something last year. We had a high school film competition, mm-hmm. and we get some young high school filmmakers from all over the country, primarily. This has not mm-hmm. gone international yet. Who give us their films, and we will program, I think there's like 10 or 11 films in the high school film program.
Okay.
And the winner this year, Sacrifices of My Father, is incredible. This young Latino filmmaker from the Los Angeles area mm-hmm. Did one of the most compelling, bar none, one of the most compelling documentaries about his father that I have seen at any level, a professional, student, regardless. Beautifully shot. And the irony for me, not irony, but the power of this film, is his father is a baker who is an illegal alien, who is an incredible baker, and has a job far enough from home that to save gas, he sleeps on a cot in the bakery during the week. So he doesn't have to go back and forth. And this kid, think of this, 17-year-old kid, instead of hiding the fact that his dad does this, celebrates what his father has done.
Which is tremendous.
Oh, and I tears, joy, the end of that film just caught me off guard. What he interviewed his dad, and it's about a 6-minute film. Mm-hmm. And his dad is kind of a... no real logic to the flow. It's just he just let his dad talk. You never actually see the interview. What he's done is he looks at his dad and he follows what his dad is saying and shows you things. Hmm. Shows his dad, but never the interview. You just hear the voice, and it goes to an end, a focus of his dad's life, which shows why he celebrates his dad. And I won't give any more away.
Okay. Well, it does, and it sounds inspiring.
Yeah.
The only thing that I know about Twins, I do want to mention.
Yes,
cause,
yes,
cause
yes.
Someone said, oh, you have to see this. You know, in my other job, when I'm not co-hosting The Art of the Matter here, I'm the executive director of Indie Reads, an adult literacy program.
Yes.
And someone mentioned to me that Twins is a movie about two twins, one who can read and one who cannot. And the one who can read... helps, I believe it's her twin, learn how to read as an adult. And that's about all I know about it.
Mm.
But I'm very curious about that movie as
Sounds
well.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. One thing that's been getting quite a lot of publicity for Heartland this year is with Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Tell me about the movie that they're bringing, because they're coming here, right?
Yes, they are. And I have seen this one. I can talk with some authority. It's called The Way.
Okay.
And we are thrilled. It will actually be opening up in theaters that weekend. And on Thursday night at the IMA, the Toby Theater, Martin Sheen, who stars in the film, written and directed with a cameo by his son, Emilio Estevez.
Who is really quite an accomplished film writer and director and producer.
Yeah. I mean, and this film shows it.
Yeah.
What happened, the backstory, as I understand it, don't quote me on this, but Martin took his grandson, Emilio's son, on this very famous pilgrimage called Camino de Santiago, which starts in France and it goes down through Spain.
Okay.
And it's like 798 kilometers. I mean, it's a very long, several-day pilgrimage. And they were so inspired, they convinced Emilio to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He was so inspired that he wrote a movie. And the movie is about a man, Martin Sheen, whose son, Emilio Estevez, decides at 45 to leave his work and do this pilgrimage because he wants, just because he wants to. The father, who's a doctor, is like, I don't know why you're doing this. It's ridiculous. He's not very happy with him. And this is the beginning of the movie. There's a freak storm, and Emilio, the son, is killed. Father gets the call here in America. Your son is dead. Come and pick up your son. He goes to the base of the Santiago and picks up the body. Has it cremated, and then decides to take the ashes and do the pilgrimage.
Okay.
So it's all the quirky people he meets along the way who are doing the pilgrimage for a sundry reasons, and it is a delight of a film because you meet all these international people doing this pilgrimage that's gone on for hundreds of years. Thousands of people have done it, all for different reasons. It's very spiritual, but it's not overtly religious.
Okay.
Though it is a Catholic pilgrimage, people do it. One guy's doing it to lose weight. Another one has decided they're going to stop smoking at the end of, you know, their reasons for doing it are different. And one of them, one of the best characters, is a writer who's in writer's block, and he's doing the pilgrimage to kind of work through that. But it's their journey, particularly Martin Sheen's journey, reconciling what his son was about. And his son actually, literally, through the ashes and spiritually present in that journey with him, and how he and his son together do this pilgrimage. It is an amazing film, and we're thrilled to have both of them here to celebrate the film and be in Indianapolis.
Yeah, congratulations on
that.
Now, you mentioned that the opening for that will be at the Toby at the IMA. The films for Heartland actually take place at a number of different locations around the city.
Yes. So we open on Thursday night. That is October 13th. And we're doing two screenings of The Way, one at 3:45 and one, I think, at 7. And there's a variety of packages, so people who just want to see the movie,
go to your website, you can
go to the website, find all that out, do it quickly. I think the tickets are going to go quickly. And then Friday night on the 14th, we will open just the Crystal Heart Awards at the AMC Northside.
Okay.
And we'll celebrate all of those incredible films with all the filmmakers in town, again from all over the world. And then Saturday, we'll continue running in the screen, several screens at AMC Castleton. Then on Saturday, we'll also open screens on the south side at the AMC in the South
Excellent.
Plaza.
Yeah.
And we'll show movies all through the festival through the following Saturday.
Great. So really, you know, both sides of town, all over the place as well. That's excellent. And the Crystal Heart, of course, is the big awards that you give out, which are the fantastic awards that everyone's very excited about. Let me ask you very briefly, Jeff, because I know that in addition to getting ready for the 20th Heartland Film Festival, you also just moved your offices down to Fountain Square.
Yeah, as Johnny Carson said, it's all in the timing. Yeah. I'll tell you, we timed that one way strange, but it wasn't our decision on the timing. But yes, we're thrilled to be on the Cultural Trail, on Virginia Avenue, on storefront in the old historic Murphy Building, which originally was a movie theater.
Yep, before it was Murphy's.
Before it was Murphy, built in 1928. It was a theater that sat 1,400 people, built by Universal Studios, called the Granada. And in 51, it closed. And in 53, it reopened, redone as the Murphy, and was in business till 98. Then when it closed, it's been gone through a lot of metamorphosis.
A lot of different art galleries and studios and some restaurants and such. Yeah. Of course, Imoca's down there.
Yes.
And
some
other great
neighbors
you've got.
Big Car is there. Mm-hmm. And it's a great First Friday. And we're thrilled to be in that building because on a First Friday, there'll be 2,000 people through the Murphy.
Yeah. And now you said earlier before we went on the air that you've got a space in there where you'll be able to do the screening of some shorts.
Yes.
That'll be great for
First Friday. On First Fridays, we'll be showing shorts. We'll probably have popcorn, and they can take 15, 20 minutes, see a great short, be a part of First Friday. And then we're thinking about doing screenings throughout the year.
How nice.
Both shorts, maybe during lunch hour, and then screenings in the evenings.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Very fun. That's well.
And Ovation is helping us with that. So it's going to be an incredible space, a great place to see a film in an intimate, small theater.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
That's a really good one for you guys.
You know, Fountain Square is not just emerging. I think it is emerged and as a real art-centric area of town and very exciting. And to be in that area and to provide the kind of attention that Heartland will bring, I think is enhancing the art culture in that part of town.
Very good. Jeff, best to you. Have a terrific festival.
Thanks.
And good luck, continuing luck with the renovation of your space and your move and all that.
Yeah.
But have a great festival.
Yes. Thanks, Travis. We'll see you all at the movies.
Travis DiNicola with the Heartland Film Festival's president and CEO, Jeff Sparks. The festival takes place October 13th through the 22nd. WFYI is a proud participant in the 2011 Heartland Film Festival. This year, the festival will feature two powerful documentaries produced by WFYI Public Media. The screenings will allow the public to meet the producing filmmakers as well as key people associated with the films. The Journey of the Beams reveals the leap of faith behind the new 9/11 monument along the Indianapolis Canal. Meet Indianapolis firefighter and 9/11 task force responder Greg Hess, the man behind the project that gives the Central Indiana community a touchstone to events that changed the fabric of America forever. His story of acquiring actual steel beams from the World Trade Center disaster and the visceral impact these artifacts have on people who contact them is at the heart of Emmy-winning producer Brad Boyd's production. This screening will allow the public to get a sneak preview of the documentary that is scheduled for its premiere broadcast October 27th at 9 p.m. Take Two follows the relationship of friends and jazz musicians Frank Glover and Claude Sifferlin before Sifferlin's untimely death. Saxophonist Glover enjoyed a unique bond with pianist Sifferlin that spanned over two decades. The program poignantly explores the musical and interpersonal relationship between the two musicians as they reflect on their collaboration, continue to perform together, yet face an inevitable separation. The production was begun by the late Emmy-winning producer Ben Strout and completed by producer Vincent Manganello. WFYI is also pleased to be the presenting station of a featured documentary selection, Digital Man, Digital World. This documentary is the story of Ken Olson, the founder of the Digital Equipment Corporation. DEC led the way in transforming an industry that had previously been accessible only to specialists and helped bring computers to the masses. Learn how Olson propelled DEC on a meteoric rise as one of the nation's largest and most successful corporations, only to become a casualty of the industry and the expectations that they had helped to create. To get more information and tickets for Journey of the Beams, Take Two, and Digital Man, Digital World, visit the Heartland Film Festival website at trulymovingpictures.org. trulymovingpictures.org. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
This is such an interesting week. We started with Prohibition on our sister station.
That's
right. And we power on through to the Athenaeum's Oktoberfest, German Fest this Saturday, where there will be some beer.
Yeah, it's kind of both ends of the spectrum,
I suppose. It totally is. And we have lots of other things to tell you about on our calendar we call
What Do We Do? That's right. Hey, next week, Beauty and the Beast is coming to town, Disney's Beauty and the Beast. And in fact, Emily and Bendhi, who is an actress who's playing Belle, is originally from, she's a graduate of Ball State University and a native of Silver Lake, Indiana. So if you're going to check out Beauty and the Beast, which runs at Clues Hall from October 11th through the 16th, then give a big shout out to Emily.
I know we think of the Spirit in Place Festival as being in November, but coming up mid-month is an event that's co-sponsored by the Indiana Historical Society, WFYI, the Athenaeum Foundation, and the Spirit in Place Festival. What is it? It's a night of historic burlesque acts. It's called Sin's Last Stand. You have a postcard for that, too. And it features members of local burlesque troupes, Bottoms Up Burlesque, Angel Burlesque, and my favorite name, Creme de la Femme. Creme de la Femme. And they're going to celebrate the roots of American burlesque by reimagining iconic acts from burlesque history.
So it's educational.
It's
then.
Educational. Yeah, you might ask them the appropriateness for the younger people in your life. Tickets and more info at bottomsupburlesque.com.
Can
spell it. Yeah.
Okay, Sharon, do you know what flyball is?
I don't.
Okay, well,
you're going to tell me.
This weekend up at the State Fairgrounds, and there's always lots of great events going on at the State Fairgrounds, and in fact this week there's the annual gem and mineral and jewelry show, and there's a Celebrate Science exhibit and stuff like that, but there's also the North American Flyball Association Can-Am Classic Dog Tournament, and it's going on all weekend long in the West Pavilion, and flyball is where they have these sort of mechanisms that teams of dogs will run up to and hit a lever, and it throws a tennis ball, and then they have to catch a tennis ball and jump through wickets and then race each other sort of like in relays, but it's all sort of automated by the dogs.
Aww.
They kind of throw the ball to themselves.
Aww.
You got to see it.
No humans needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's not exactly an arts event, but it's still really cool going on up at the State Fairgrounds this weekend,
it's
all weekend
as
long.
It's as artistic as the band of cats that sometimes comes to town.
Hey, they are pretty talented.
I know. Hey, if you, probably not so much for the guys, but I know a lot of women in our audience know about Hand Jive, that fabulous Fort Wayne-based pair of female clothing designers who turn up at all the best art fairs like the Penrod Arts Fair and St. James Court Art Fair. They're doing a trunk show in Zionsville this week. It goes on through this Sunday from 1 to 5 at Lily's Boutique Gallery, 205 South Main Street in Zionsville. You can get more information on that at handjiveweareart.com. handjiveweareart.com or at liliesboutiquegallery.com.
So. I was born a hand jive.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good to know.
You know, something, another group that does the hand jive would be quilters, if you will. And
good
the
segue.
2011 quilt show, A Quilter's Journey, planned for this later in October 28th and 29th at Westfield Middle School. It's their annual big quilt show, and it features over 400 different quilted items, and they do quilted appraisals and lectures and demonstrations. And of course, there's vendors and a food court. And if you like quilts, this is the place to be. The theme this year is A Quilter's Journey, October 28th and 29th at Westfield Middle School.
Very good. Hey, if you like cabaret music,
And I do.
And you do. Are you going to start going to work and doing the cabaret hand jive? I'm trying to find a segue here. It's not working.
Good luck on that one.
Yeah. There is a special fundraising event coming up to benefit the cabaret at the Columbia Club, and it's coming up Friday, October 28th. It's called A Wicked Cabaret because it stars Stephanie J. Block, who has a vast Broadway career from Wicked to 9 to 5 the Musical, The Boy from Oz, and many, many more shows, and she has a new solo album called This Place I Know. So if you're interested in that, you can go to the Cabaret at the Columbia's website and find out more. That it's a fundraising event. It's coming up on Friday, October 28th, but a great opportunity to hear and see Stephanie J. Block.
Very cool. Hey, if you were a fan of Fill the Void at this year's Fringe or any of the other past indie fringes, then perhaps you know that Phil has moved to Indianapolis and he's doing a new show called Funny About That. And each month there's a different topic. This month's topic, public nudity and the Super Bowl. So that is coming up on October 12th at the Indie Fringe. That's Wednesday, October 12th. And there's a $10 cover, but there is free beer. And Phil will be talking about that and all sorts of other things. And then he's got a monthly show that is taking place at the Fringe. You can get more information about Funny About That funnyaboutthat.com at funnyaboutthat.com.
Phil's been through a winter here, right? He knows that the chances of public nudity in early February are kind of slender. Well, he'll have to work to make that connection. Speaking of working...
Well, he's got a good streak.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay. Speaking of working right now at Theater on the Square, you can see Working, the musical. Yes, based on the Studs Terkel book and on those many, many Studs Terkel. Remember Studs Terkel, the radio program?
Of course.
What a fascinating concept and a great opportunity to see something a little bit different over at Theater on the Square through October 29th.
Very good. Hey, this Sunday is the Philharmonic Orchestra of Indianapolis's concert, Fiends, Friends, and Family. I'm sorry. That's all spelled with a PH. That's a little tricky for the Philharmonic.
I get it. Philharmonic.
Yeah. And Don Farrell from the Actors Theater of Indiana is going to be their guest narrator for the Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. And this is going to be just a great show taking place at 3 o'clock at the Pike Performing Arts Center. And it's certainly appropriate for children of all ages.
That would include us, right?
That would even include us.
Speaking of Don Farrell and Actors Theater of Indiana.
Yeah, easy for you to say.
Forbidden Broadway is their next show, and it's opening October 28th. I'm telling you about it a little bit early because it's sure to be a hot ticket. If you don't know about Forbidden Broadway, boy, you sure should. It's it is so fun, and it pokes, prods, teases, lampoons anything Broadway has to offer. As funny as it is, it's always done with great affection. So Forbidden Broadway, ATI is doing it October 28th through November 20th in their new home up at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel.
Something else that's a little scary. Next weekend, Storytelling Arts is having a series of great scary stories. On Friday the 14th, Scary Stories for Families on the Canal at the Indiana History Center. And then on the 15th, on that Saturday, Disquieting, Disturbing, and Dreadful Tales on the Canal. So those are even a little bit scarier, kind of more in the tradition of Poe and Hitchcock. Lots of great storytelling, very spooky stories, some for kids, some for adults, coming up at storytellingarts.org.
Cool. William Bolcom's adaptation of Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge, the opera, is up on stage at IU Opera Theater this coming 21st and 22nd, 28th and 29th of October. You can get more information by going to music.indiana.edu/opera-ballet. View from the Bridge, you don't get to, it's not performed in a place where you can get to it easily from Indianapolis very often, so take advantage of that.
If you noticed an abundance of athletic and attractive women on roller skates this weekend, then it's probably because the Monumental Mayhem, which is sort of the big regional roller derby competition, is taking place this weekend at the Indiana Convention Center. And our Naptown Roller Girls are competing in it as well as many other groups. And it goes on for 3 days, all day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Indiana Convention Center. Should be a Monumental Mayhem of fun.
That is a lot of skating.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo.
Yes.
Make sure you have this on your calendar, the annual Day of the Dead celebration at the Indianapolis Art Center, and you'll be hearing about this more about this soon on The Art of the Matter. But put it on your calendar for Saturday, October 29th, noon to 5. It's free and open to the public. It's the 12th annual event, food, entertainment, activities for the whole family, all kinds of free activities and food available for purchase, dance troupes, music troupes, great activities for the kids, indoor exhibits, outdoor exhibits, all coming up at the Indianapolis Arts Center on October 29th from noon to 5.
Very cool. And last thing I have is just to remind you, it's the last weekend for The Circus in Winter, a musical. It's the musical version of Kathy Day's book, and it is being performed by the students in the University Theater of Ball State University, and it wraps up this weekend. So go to the Ball State website to get more information.
Good deal. Last thing I have is to remind you that you might want to pop over to the Athenaeum for the Wiener Dog Races, which are going on from noon to 6 this Saturday. If you're hearing us Saturday afternoon, you still have time to get over there and come say hey to me. And Travis, will you be there maybe hoisting a glass?
I think.
Yeah,
okay. Sounds like a plan.
We'll have lots more to see and do next week on our calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Magician Christian Painter isn't content to just amaze you. He wants to scare you a bit as well. Travis DiNicola spoke with Christian about the new ghost show he and his wife Catalina have created.
Christian, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you.
Hey, I am happy to be back, and you're always a lot of fun.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And since the last time that had you in here for Art of the Matter, I have had a chance to see you with your lovely wife with your show Mind Tripping at the Hilton, and it is fantastic.
Well, thank you very much.
Great show. So that's been going well for you, that run?
It's been going very well. We were sold out for most of the summer, and it's been great fun. And we're looking forward to continued success and having a blast here in Indianapolis.
Great. Now, what I want to chat about today is a ghost show, a scary story. I don't know, we're coming up on Halloween, so it seems appropriate. But something you're putting together called Shadowland?
It is. It's a show called Shadowland. It actually is almost, I did not want this to come out in October.
Okay.
Because I don't want it to be a Halloween show. It's not really a Halloween show. It's a ghost show and more reminiscent of the spook shows that they would have maybe in the 1940s in the old theaters and that.
What is that? Try to explain to me what those shows were like, because I'm having kind of a hard time understanding. I mean, this is something sort of different from vaudeville. It was
right.
Yeah.
They would think of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
So it was very much like that. They would play a couple of scary movies later mm-hmm. at night. And then they would have some sort of show where someone would come in, and it might be magic or it might not, but it was the idea of being a spooky experience, and okay. The audience got to participate, and it was just there to because people like to be scared a little bit.
Kind of like a seance on stage, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Like floating tables or just
exactly.
Scary stuff.
It was all those
cool
kinds of things.
Cool special effects.
Defined, whatever it was in the area.
Okay.
And they were popular in the 40s.
Okay.
And then they kind of, I think they drifted out with... not vaudeville, but...
Well, you had the advent of, 3D movies in the 50s with, Creature in the Black Lagoon.
That's right. It was a heyday back then. I loved Creature of the Black Lagoon. So this show fits that mold. I want it to be a late show where... And somewhat historically correct. A lot of the stories in the show are going to be centered around things here in Indianapolis, things that had happened way back that have a ghost feel to them or actually have ghosts associated with them.
Okay, so you're really writing a story here, a script that's part of this. I mean, this sounds as much of a sort of a play and storytelling as it does a magic show.
Yes, absolutely. This will be, in fact, very interesting. We just did a, because you always want to rehearse these pieces.
Yeah.
And one of the ghost pieces, we went to a storytelling group mm-hmm. and we told it and no magic. It was just the storytelling portion of the ghost story.
Okay.
And they asked us to open for what they'll be doing at the canal, those ghost stories on the canal in October.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
I was really looking forward to it. Unfortunately, I won't be able to do it, but I encourage people to go and have fun.
Storytelling arts, they do a great, great job.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about, let's go take a step back. Let's look at some of the research you've been doing. It sounds like you've been sort of looking into, ghost stories in Indianapolis or what have you that you're using to make a part of this. Tell me about some of the stuff you've been checking into.
Well, because I grew up here in Indianapolis, of course, I was familiar with Central State Hospital.
Sure, okay.
And, of course, it closed down in the 90s. And when it closed down, it just closed down and shut down. And I had an experience of going into Central State. Of course, everybody wanted to go check it out mm-hmm. at that time. And it's very haunted. It has a lot
of
haunted history.
It's a spooky place.
It is very spooky. And it's been featured in many books as well.
Yeah.
I also went to the Indiana Historical Society and pulled some resources there. I did a lot of reading. But I wanted to also avoid going on a lot of the ghost tours here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want to be influenced by their versions. I wanted to just read historically on paper what was going on. Because even those ghost tours and that have theatrics with them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
I've gone on some real fun ones in the Irvington neighborhood and stuff.
Right, and I'm looking forward to that. And mm-hmm. when this show's up and running, we will go
then
do
go
it.
Then go check them out afterwards.
Absolutely. But I didn't want to, Because sometimes when writing, you will borrow without even realizing it because you had heard it, and I just didn't want to, you know, step into that. So, yes, there's a lot of historically accurate pieces in there, but there is some theatrical stretching. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to say that, of course, I don't say it. It's been around for a long time, but the saying that theater uses lies to tell the truth. So that we'll be doing a lot of that.
Now, is magic a part of this show then?
Magic will be a part of the show. Yeah. It's going to accentuate the ghostly happenings.
Okay.
Some of the show has already been played. We used to tour all across the country.
And you mean your wife, Catalina?
Yes, my wife and I.
And the two of you are doing the show together.
We are doing it. Yes. She's just not here. She's taking care of some family matters up in Michigan. But we will be doing it together. And she's very excited as well. We're really looking forward to it. But like I say, part of the show, in fact, one big piece of it that we talk about, Central State Hospital and what happened when we went to visit and what it's all about, was in a part of a show that when we toured, and we did it for about 3 years, and we would actually have people run out of the room during the Central State Hospital piece because it's very creepy.
Yeah.
And I warn people who have seen Mind Tripping, which is a very funny show.
And not creepy at all.
And not creepy at all. It's funny and kind of mind-twisty. This show is creepy. There's a little bit of fun. There's a little bit of funny, but it's going to creep you out.
Now, are you doing it later at night? Is that...
It will start at 11 o'clock at night.
Wow, okay.
And the idea is we want you to be around during the witching hour there at midnight.
Yeah. And you'll be doing this at the Hilton?
We will be doing it at the Hilton, same place that you see the Mind Tripping show.
Okay. Okay.
In fact, we'll do the Mind Tripping show on Saturday, and then right after that, we'll turn around and do the Shadowland.
Oh, one right after the next.
One right after
the next.
That's
a big night for you guys.
So it will be very... I mean, this is really fun. We enjoyed this piece when we were on the road. I think it's going to be more fun.
Now, you know, some magicians certainly have a fascination with kind of the creepy or the supernatural or the spiritual or what have you. And, of course, you know, kind of one of the most famous debunkings was the work that Houdini used to do. I've never really pegged you, Christian, as someone who sort of had a fascination with kind of that side of magic. I mean, I see the work that you and your wife do and a lot of mentalism, some, you know, really fun stage magic. So is this another side of you that we just...
It is another side. I think, you know, when you... Of course, in
not
our...
Not that there's anything wrong with being fascinated with the creepy, but...
Well, I think we all are. In fact, if you talk to everybody, just talk to anybody you want, everybody has a story. Everybody has at least one story of something bizarre that happened to them that makes the hair stand up on the back of their neck that is creepy. And what I also learned is everyone likes to be scared a little bit. They like to go and be a little bit freaked out. And when I put out to the audience, would you be interested in this show, we were overwhelmed. In fact, we promised to have the show launched back in July, August timeframe. I have had multiple phone calls and emails of asking, where is this show?
Mm-hmm.
So a lesson learned there. Don't promise how fast you can write a show. But we want to take our time because this show needs to be, it's a very interesting line that we have to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how creepy do you make this show? You don't want to go too creepy where people think you're making deals with the devil.
Right, right, right.
But you also don't want it to be too tame and people feel like, oh, this wasn't really creepy.
Yeah.
You have to find that right.
It's got to be entertaining, but it's got to be creepy. That's
you
what
gotta,
people are
you,
paying
you know,
for.
You got to have that little bit of the tubular bells playing in the background.
Now, when does this open? When can we first come to see this?
This will be opening on Saturday, October 15th.
Okay.
October 15th, we will run the first show.
Okay.
So
you had mentioned that you know, pretty much everyone you talk to has some sort of story that you know, that makes the hair stand up and kind of freaks you out a little bit. What's yours? Can you share a little bit of that?
It will be in the show.
It's in the show. We got to wait for that. Don't we?
It's in the show, and it happened. I will give you this much. During my college years, I went to college here at IUPUI. I got a summer job at a cemetery here in Indianapolis.
Okay, that's creepy.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Actually, it was a very, you know what, it was a great job because you didn't get bothered. You just did your work. But because I was a college kid, I worked a late shift, which means I came in the afternoon and made sure they could get in to see their loved ones, and then I would be the one who would close it at dusk after everyone left.
Okay.
And it was a great place to work, except for that.
That one night?
That one thing. Yeah. Yeah, that one thing that you'll hear about in the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, it was really, and everyone has it. Like I said, we have people who will stay after these types of shows when we would do it on the road, and they would spend an hour sharing their stories with us. And it really, that's probably what inspired me to do this.
Hmm. Very cool. This sounds like a lot of fun. Are special costumes or sets or anything for this? What should people kind of expect?
The set will be, a little bit creepy. It's not going to be elaborate because mm-hmm. this is about, what I want to bring back, quite yeah. frankly, is I want to, if you think about the first time you had that chill, I'll tell you, mine was when I was in the Boy Scouts, and we went out to camping in the woods for the first time, and I don't remember how old I was, relatively young, 12, mm-hmm. 13, and we're sitting by the campfire, and then the older guys started telling the ghost stories.
Right.
And that's a lot different than sitting at home with your parents eating popcorn and watching TV.
Uh-huh.
And it got creepy, and I remember one of the troop leaders during one of the stories was in the backwoods. And at the appropriate time, he broke a bunch of branches and then ran out. And, of course, we almost all peed our pants right there. So, but I think we all enjoyed that fun.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit harder to get that same feeling when we get to be adults. And that's what we're going to try to do with this show is to...
That sounds like a ton of fun.
Just make you remember that time when you were like, whoa, that was kind of creepy.
You got to have a little bit of desire to be able to do a show like this outside, I would think. Wouldn't that be? Down at the Hilton, I mean, you've got a great space where you can work there, and you kind of need that, you know, for a theatrical production. But it does almost kind of lend itself to wanting to be around a campfire.
Yes. It would be great to be. Unfortunately, we can't control the elements. But you're right. That's why, as you were talking about earlier, how we set that whole when you come in and you sit down, mm-hmm. as soon as you walk into our little theater, our little black box theater there in the Hilton, you will start feeling the creepiness. It starts as soon as you walk through the door.
Cool.
So before the show begins, you might feel a little uncomfortable, and that's what we want you to feel.
Can't wait to feel uncomfortable with you. Okay, Christian, thanks so much for coming in today.
Hey,
really
thanks for having
it.
Me.
Travis DiNicola with magician Christian Painter. You can find out more about Christian and Catalina's upcoming shows at marriedtomagic.com. That's married, the numeral 2, magic.com. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4, when I'll get a preview of the upcoming JCC Festival of Books.
I'll get an update on Hilary Hahn's career.
And I'll find out what the Indiana Ballet Conservatory's upcoming production of Phantom of the Opera is all about. Plus, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the 2011-2012 season in 3 first-class venues. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.